Okay. Okay, as we go, before we go to illumination, in your manual it says, under the primary challenge to inerrancy is the idea that the Bible is only authoritative for faith and practice. Now, the position taken is that the purpose of Scripture is to teach about what? Faith and practice alone. But there might be what? Errors on some facts, historical facts or data. Pero, our position is everything can be used for, is profitable for, all scriptures are profitable for use or for us. It's God-breathed, it is completely pure, perfect, and true. So, I don't know how I could try to put this into perspective, but in Orthodox Christianity, us, we use the word inerrant. I think in some respects, infallible is used. No. Now, I guess the little nuance, or the difference of infallibility, is it leaves room for us to say na, in terms of faith and practice, it's, you know, infallibility means hindi siya magkakamali on those areas. Infallible or not to fail you. Pero infallible leaves small room to talk about, oh, there may be errors of facts. Now, in Orthodox Christianity, we don't even accept that error was, parang nagkamali nung nag-inspire si Lord. Kaya nga, we explained inerrancy properly. And many of this arose, kaya nagkaroon tayo ng, hindi siya inerrant, infallible na lang. It's because nga of certain numbers na nagkaka, 24,000 dito, 23,000 dito. Paano kaya yun? Baka nagkamali talaga. It's not free from errors. Pero infallible siya in terms of faith, you know. So infallible yung ginagamit. Sa atin, mapansin mo, wala sa atin yung infallibility. Hindi yun ang ginagamit natin. Of course, somehow, if I think through it, you know, it's inerrant in everything. In everything it says, it's profitable. Therefore, it's infallible. Inerrant na nga, walang error eh. So, anyway, it's a little nuance. I don't think it's really that significant. But at least you know that that's where the nuances are in terms of those terminologies. Now, number 5, the doctrine of illumination. Ito yung sinasabi natin, being technically right about revelation, then illumination. No? Teaches that the Bible is qualitatively different from all other books, and ito, it requires God-given assistance to understand it. Kaya when I ask people to read it, I also ask them to say, to have a humble heart, you know, to humbly, kasi God gives grace to the humble. So we're hoping na pag they adhere to that, uy, bro, read the word, uy, pag binasa mo, ano lang, bro, just be open, be humble before God, ganun, just pray. What you're trying to do, at least for me, what I'm trying to do is to set up that person. Kasi biro mo, pagka si God na yung nag-speak sa kanya, ang laki ng counseling time na mawawala. Siya na lahat ng sasagot ng mga tanong niya kasi si God sinagot na eh. And so, we always try to help a person be in that disposition of humility. Kasi God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. So, when we talk to our people, and we ask them, and even when we evangelize people, and we ask them to read the Bible, isama na rin natin yun. Na wag lang, basa yung Bible, bahala ka sa buhay mo, sana masupalpal ka. Hindi ganun yung, bro, you just read the Bible, and pray, ask God. Set them up for to have a humble heart para may grace silang makareceive. So that's just my take, of course, on illumination. Because illumination says this, apart from God's intervention and Him putting light into the Word of God, we are all lost. That's just simply, we cannot, talagang, kung ano-ano sasabihin natin. And so we need to ask God, di ba? Kahit nga preachers na tayo na matagal na, parang we can never say na alam na natin to. But when we read the Bible, we're always saying, God, what do you want to say to your people? Yung para kang, this is what I've always felt when I'm preparing a preaching, para kang nanganganak every week. The labor never really becomes, alam mo yun, kahit ilang anak mo, labor is still labor. Diba? And so, we're always saying na God, I know there's something new. Kasi every year, same scripture naman yan eh. Pero nang mapapansin mo, God will always, talagang blindside you with a new revelation, with or illumination, that has to be technically correct, to put light on something that you've never seen before. So I think that attitude sets us up for that. No? So man's unregenerate mind cannot apprehend spiritual truth without divine assistance. Sabi nga sa 1 Corinthians, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Especially when you're what? Talking to an unbeliever. Yun, hindi pa niya kilala si Lord. Medyo, pag-pray mo siya, ask mo siya mag-pray, maririnig naman siguro ni Lord yan. Diba? A simple crying out, God, guide me. Illumination is the ministry of what? The Holy Spirit, enlightening those who are in right relationship with Him to comprehend the Word of God. And I would also venture to say, not just those who are in right relationship with Him, but those who are, you know, talagang earnestly asking, you know, may, di ba si, I could remember Cornelius, you know, in Acts 10. I mean, for all intensive purposes, he's an unbeliever, he's a Roman centurion, but for some reason, God heard him. And he would see that how humble he is before God, he would give alms to the poor, he would cry out to God. So, God sends who? Peter. And then, everything was illuminated. Holy Spirit came. So I think that that's what we hope for our people as well, especially those we're reaching out to, those who come to the services, they don't know God yet. And we challenge them to read God's Word with that kind of an attitude. No, para magkaroon sila ng Cornelius moment. And they get saved, their household gets saved. Yun yung illumination. Because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 45, it says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scripture. So that's our prayer. That our minds will be opened. That it would be flooded with light from the Holy Spirit. Okay, number six, the doctrine of interpretation. That's the last of the five. The doctrine of interpretation teaches that man has a role in cooperating with the divine work of illumination. Now, of course, when we talk about interpretation, Pastor Paul will cover this with his class on hermeneutics. That's where interpretation comes in. So more on that on the class on hermeneutics. But these are the five things when it comes to bibliology. Okay, revelation, inspiration, inerrancy, illumination, and then interpretation. If we, that encompasses when we go and, you know, come before God's Word, those are the doctrines that we teach and we have in mind. Now, let's go to canonicity. Kasi ito na. So, now that we know that about God's revelation, why these books? Bakit ito yung, why was this included in the canons and others were not? So let's take a look at that and let's see what Orthodox Christianity, how we have gone about it through church history. You know? Now, canonicity refers to the inspired book of the Bible. This section will cover the factors that led to the development of the canon and the tests. May test pala yan to use to determine canonicity. Now, can I just, siguro, I would just like to interject this. Siguro to use the word determine is a bit, it feels like, the reason I shun away from using it, it's because when you determine something, it assumes that you have a bit of an authority over that which you determine. Now, what I would propose for all of us, so as to maintain a disposition of humility before God, is this. I would change this to say that led to the development of the canonicity and the test used to discover canonicity. Kasi pag discover, it's different from determine. Determine, seemingly, ikaw yung, I'll determine, I'll be the one. Seemingly, I have authority. Discover, it's already there. Now, let's see, let's test this and if we discover the following. Because discover means it's just there, it's discovered in your eyes. And you're not the one determining. Hindi ko yung parang authority, now I determine. Now, these words are used in mostly RC or Roman Catholic theological books, the word determine. But I've had difficulty with that for the longest time when I've read that. I think even in some of the theology book that I've read. So that has been a trouble for me. I've encircled that. And so I tried to find words, and this one word I just think fits. It's the word discover. I think we should always be in a disposition that we are just simply discovering. God is, He's the reference, He's the authority. We're simply here to discover what He lays out. He chooses to illuminate on our path. And tayo lang, we're thankful that He would so do so for us. Okay, so that's just, and I believe even in the church, in church history, it hardly would come to mind for me that our church fathers had that disposition, that they determined which are the, I think they discovered it. They saw how it maybe changed life. So later on, we'll look at that. But again, I'm just careful about using certain words that would, not that our intention is to elevate ourselves, but it implies certain, you know, those things, no? So I'm just being careful. So let's look at the Old Testament canon. Now, Scripture shows the historical development of the canon, and there are really very few questions on the Old Testament canon because we simply lifted that up from the Hebrew Bible. Kung ano yung Hebrew canon, yun din yung sa atin. So the Scripture shows, number one, the Old Testament canon began with the Ten Commandments. God wrote on tablets of stones, deposited in the Ark of the Covenant. So, yun yung first na clear. That's where it started. And then the collection grew as Moses, in Deuteronomy, si Moses, God added on all of those mga Levitical laws and all of those things. So Deuteronomy points out how the Torah was put together. And with Joshua, the other prophets put, the writings of the prophet was added to it. Until, number three, after Malachi, there were no further addition to it. So for us, when it comes to the canonicity of our Old Testament, we simply follow the Hebrew. Hindi to yung parang the church fathers. Because the real test came sa New Testament canon. Kumbaga, when everyone from the apostles down to the apostolic fathers, the apologetic fathers, and the polemic fathers, all of those church fathers that we have, what they simply did was they got the tradition because si Jesus would always quote from what? The Hebrew. So, sino ba ang measure ng pinaka-canon natin? Si Jesus naman talaga because all of this points to me. So, Jesus would quote on all of these. So, we consider them the canon. So, wala tayong problema sa Old Testament. Hindi natin siya issue. Diretso na agad tayo because Jesus would always point to them. The law, the prophets, and the psalm. Naalala niyo yan, di ba? So, it would encompass all of that. And there are many rabbinic literature that alludes to that. So, ibig sabihin, overwhelming na yung literature for that. Hindi na natin siya question. Now, let's go to the New Testament canon. Okay? So, the NT apostles replaced the Old Testament prophet as the ones with the ability from the Holy Spirit to recall accurately the word, the deeds of Jesus, and to interpret them for subsequent generations. Ulitin natin, ha? The NT apostles. So, ito yung siyempre, yung sinasabi nilang 12 minus 1 tapos plus 1, di ba? So these are the apostles. The NT apostles replaced the Old Testament prophets as the ones with the ability from the Holy Spirit to recall accurately the words and deeds of Jesus and to interpret them. Of course, not all the apostles have written in the New Testament. It's mostly Paul. Sabi nga nila, there's many scholars that says that, di ba, they cast lots for Matthias to come in. But really, God chose the apostle, which is Paul, to replace si Judas. There was just a little bit of a discussion. So again, hindi naman tayo nagme-major sa minors, but that's a discussion among scholars about, siyempre, di ba, 12 minus 1, si Judas, nagpakamatay. Tapos, then there's a debate. Si Matthias ba talaga? The lot belongs to the Lord naman. Sabi sa Proverbs, di ba? Pero many would believe. That's why even Paul would say that, you know, as one of least of the apostles and as one abnormally born. So those are just the arguments to the fact that maybe it's Paul. That's why you see Paul writing so much of it, specifically to the ministry for the Gentiles, for us. Yung apostle to the Gentiles kasi siya, while Peter was apostle to the Jews, diba sabi nga nila. So there's just a discussion on that. Now again, o nga pala, when there's discussion about those things, how can we know if we can be open-handed? Pag sinabi na open-handed, let go situation. You know, even if we know who, if it's Matthias or Paul, wala naman siyang effect sa salvation natin eh. Tsaka sa pag-preach natin ng gospel. It's a nice to know thing. So it's always good to know the discussions behind it. But we don't have to like kill each other for it. Now that Jesus is fully man and fully God, yun medyo, ano, that, medyo yun ang medyo importante. Yung iba, okay na. That Jesus is the Lord. Yan, importante yun. Huwag natin palitan yun. Na hindi siya superhero. That he's not Batman. So, yan, those are things we fight for. We are, ang tawag doon, we are close-handed on that. I mean, we're not gonna compromise those things. Pero yung mga, si Barnabas ata, okay na yun. Si, ano yata, si Matthias, okay na. Kung sino man. Gusto mo, ikaw. Muna, parang, saya ka ba? Okay na, ikaw na yung 12 apostle. Yan. Para lang masaya tayo, di ba? Ikaw na yung 12. Ganyan. So, yun lang usapan natin. Saya ka na. Okay, let's move on. Let's preach the gospel, di ba?
Yeah.
Ah, in some churches.
Yes.
Meron kasing movement na agad ng mga, parang, they raise again this position, the gifts kasi of apostle, no? And truly naman, even after the apostles, some were called apostles. Pero, in church history, we've always distinguished these apostles na was directly with kasi apostles simply mean the one sent eh. At ito na lang sabihin ko sa at ito yung lagi sinasabi ko sa mga taong medyo nagtatanong sa akin about yung may isang nagtatanong about mga apostles kasi may nakita ko mga libro. Sabi ko ganito na lang, kung yan talaga gusto mo, okay lang, walang problema. Ito yung mga flinog na bitten by snakes, persecuted, beaten black and blue, crucified, boiled in oil. Sila lang naman yun. Yun ba yung gusto mong ministry? Okay lang kung gusto mong ihanay ang sarili mo. Kung baga sa akin, whenever we use the word apostolic, it simply means the one who is sent. That what we are sent by God to do His purpose, to His work. Hanggang doon na lang tayo. Huwag na natin masyadong mental gymnastics pa kung man, ano ba ibig sabihin itong fivefold ministry nito at pag yun ba ang title ko, iba ang lakad ko. Tsaka, okay na yun. Basta tayo, you know, we teach, we pastor, we love people. And all of these technicalities, because some people talagang ang labo eh. May mga calling card pa. O sige, yan ang calling card mo. Okay, nasaan nga ba yung ano yung pang-flag dito? May ship, may snake ba? Patukan naman natin. May mga ganun eh. Yun yung mga pinagdaanan ng totoong apostles. Kung ako, mag-iingat ako sa ganong klaseng thinking. Pero, again, if God chooses to do that to us, di ba, wala naman tayo magagawa. But, sa akin, let's just stick with the original meaning, the one who is sent. And did God have apostles in His word? In fact, He did. Kaya tayo, in our movement, we believe in apostolic leadership. Hindi tayo sa church na may mga board of deacons. Walang ganon. Okay? Meron tayong mga apostolic leaders. And I think that's a very New Testament model church. And ito ah, antindi ng mga apostolic leaders natin. They're not overbearing. They're not, you know, they come to your, pupunta yan, bibisita sa church mo. How much time do I have? Gusto mo, buong araw ka mag-preach. Pero hindi, they'll submit because they understand. It's incredible to be a part of this ministry. I'm just like flabbergasted. Kakaiba. So they understand the spirit behind all of this. Kasi yung iba, yung may calling card pa, tapos kung maglakad, iba na. Laki na nung, parang nag-bench press ata ng marami kasi apostle na siya. Pero iba sa atin. So I'm glad that we're here. No? But when we talk about anti-apostles here, we're talking about those who had a direct contact with Jesus. And He did say, sabi nga ni, yung sa John, yung I will lead you into all truth. It was really spoken to those apostles. And I believe that when they were writing the canon, that was in full operation. They were guided into all truth. Everything that Jesus wanted them to remember for His purpose. Nasa dyan lahat yun. You go out there, I'm gonna guide you, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. Now, can we use it for us? I believe so, but not on the same level as the inspiration for the apostles. I would not even dare, you know, put myself there on that level. I would just say that this is the scriptures, let's submit to all of that. God has closed us canon, and that's it. Let's not endanger ourselves to any additions. Okay? So, in John chapter 14, verse 26, the anti-apostles replaced the OT prophets as the ones with ability from the Holy Spirit to recall accurately the word and the deeds of Jesus and to interpret them for subsequent generations. Sabi dito, John 14, 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, have we used this scripture for the ministry of the Holy Spirit for the ordinary believer? Yes, we have. Is that a stretch? I don't think so. I believe there is a place where really God guides us, and but not to the level of the inspiration that the apostles were given, yeah, to write down and record. Many believe that this specifically is a scripture that is a test for canonicity. Was an apostle involved in the writing or a scribe of the apostle? Meaning, nagdidictate siya, sinusulat nung scribe niya. Like Mark, who's the scribe of who? Peter. It's believed to be. Number two, those with the office of apostle in the early church claim an authority equal to that of the Old Testament prophet as Old Testament prophets, an authority to speak and write God's very word. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So in this scripture, you see Peter putting in the same footing the writings of the holy prophets and what? The words of our Lord Jesus Christ written through who? The apostles. So yung pag nakita mo yung 2 Peter, Peter was simply alluding to the fact that in the same way that the Holy Scriptures was written by the holy prophets of old, now, again, we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as spoken through the what? The apostles. Sabi nga dito, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him. So ito, Peter, what? Says abnormally born si Paul eh. So somehow, Peter would say this of Paul. Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains some things that are hard to understand. Sino sa inyo believe that? You know, when you read Paul's letters, parang, Paul, umayos ka naman. Diba? Speaking in them of these matters, his letters, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other. See, the way it was written grammatically, it was comparable to the scriptures, whatever Paul wrote. So all of this, Peter would what? Affirm Paul, di ba? O una, takot sila kay Paul kasi baka patayin sila, di ba? Pero after that, sinabi na niya, these writings of Paul. So that's how we get the New Testament canon. That's kaya natin sila nabuo. Peter is aware of Paul's epistle and also willing to classify all of Paul's letter with the other scripture. The word scriptures occurs 51 times in the New Testament, and it refers to what? Whenever scripture is spoken of in the New Testament, it speaks of the Old Testament scripture. Kasi wala pa naman yung New Testament nung time na yun eh. So whenever they say scripture, they were referring to the Old Testament. That's why I'm reading this book. I forgot who the author is. Preaching from the Old Testament. Kasi minsan parang takot tayo mag-preach sa Old Testament, di ba? Ito yung question. How did the New Testament apostle preach? Using the Old Testament. They had not. So I believe even at this point in time, we should have the courage and believe God for the grace to preach from the Old Testament. Kasi doon din naman galing yung kinu-quote, sino ba kinu-quote ng mga New Testament apostles? When you say scripture, it was the Old Testament. So, now, there are many factors in the centuries of the church that led to the final development of the canon. Okay, bakit ba na-force sila to develop the canon? Dati walang canon. Dati, the writings of Paul was distributed to the different churches. They were read. Pero these are the events and the factors that caused people, the leaders of that time, to meet and say these are the canons of Scripture. Number one, the first factor was the proliferation of spurious writing claiming to be inspired. So ibig sabihin, may mga ibang writers, naglagay sila ng mga ibang letters nila. Tapos sinasabi nila, oh, Bible din to. Parang kapareho, kapantay ng mga apostles. Parang, kunyari ako today, nagsulat ako, oh, dagdag mo sa after Revelation. O, di ba? No, illumination. Di ba? Ano, The Book of Deception, chapter 1. Kasi, di ba, dagdag na eh. And that's, most cults, actually, that's what they do. They have writings that are equal to the, that's no different from what they were fighting against. Si ba? Si Joseph Smith ba yun? Of the more, they have a book that's equal of inspiration to the Bible. It's no different from what they were fighting a long time ago. So there's nothing new under the sun in terms of what? Cults doing these things, spurious writings. So meron yan, the Gospel of Philip. So the Acts of kay Thomas, yan, di ba? May mga lumalabas na ganyan. So none of those were really included, even by the leaders of the church early on, no? The second factor was the attack on genuine writing by men claiming divine inspiration. In church history, you will study Marcion, Pelagius, yun yung mga taong yun, they would claim also na yung mga writings nila, tama. Equal to the Bible. Dagdagan pa natin, dagdagan ba? Ang kapal na siguro ng Bible na pag nagdagan natin ng ano, volume 1. Volume 2. Yan. Pero, those are the ano. So, hindi lang pala may writings na nagka-claim. May in-attack pa yung ibang Bible. In fact, there are some in church history that redacted. Ang sabihin redacted, they looked at the scripture, may tinanggal sila. Ayaw nila. May iba ayaw kay Paul. Tinanggal lahat ng writings ni Paul. So, ina-attack pati yung actual scripture. Hindi lang may meron silang writing na they're not just content in saying, idagdag mo yung sa akin. Ibawas mo pa yan. May mga ganon. That was the way the attack was on the scripture. The third factor was the need to determine which apostolic writing should be used in public worship. So, sino ba, anong mga letters ba? Kayino nang galing to? That will be used for public worship. Because, ito lang ang sasabi ko sa... Now, the other books, although not inspired, let's say the deuterocanonical books, yung mga Maccabees, all that, they're not inspired. But they are valuable for historic references. If you want to see how the genre of the literature looks like back then in ancient Near East, maybe you could reference their writings. It's a good literary exercise, but it's not inspired. Okay? So they are treated as historical books, but not inspired ones. There's a difference. Okay? The fourth factor was the edict by Diocletian in 303 that demanded all sacred books to be burned. Okay, historically speaking, there was this... Nag-church history na ba kayo kay Pastor Paul? Pag-aaral nito, si Diocletian wanted to burn all the Bible, all the literature. And you know what they did? Kinain yung langaw, eh. And you know what he did? It forced the Christian to say, okay, let's have this burned, but this one let's preserve. Kasi under fire ka na eh. And it was not just the literature that is being burned. Christians were being burned. And you have to decide, which scripture am I willing to die for? This one or that one? Ibig sabihin, if I, dapat yung tamang scripture, I'm gonna be martyred. What am I believing? So they had to determine it. The persecution forced them to start to... Kasi kung ang church kasi pag medyo prosperous, medyo relax eh. Pero pag pressure mo, dyan sila band together. Hey, let's find out which one we're willing to die for. If we're gonna be killed for this, we better be killed for the right things. So they just started collecting the writings of the apostles. So then those were the ones passed down. So the canon developed slowly over the first centuries of the church. Now, the early church did not give divine authority to the writings. but rather recognize the divinely authored characteristic of writings that already had such a quality. Ulitin natin, ha? The early church did not give divine authority. So it was not the church that determined divine authority, but they recognized or discovered divine authority as they read it. In fact, the different church fathers, Clement of Rome, mentioned at least 8 NT books in his letters to the Corinthians. So ito si Clement of Rome, si Polycarp. These are what we call the apostolic fathers. Kasi meron tayong the apostles. This the apostolic fathers. These are the disciples of the apostles. Polycarp was the disciple of John. Clement of Rome was a companion of Paul. And so all of this you will learn sa church history with Pastor Paul Barker. Pero makikita niyo yung connection. Okay? So si Irenaeus, sina all of these church fathers, makikita niyo lahat ng mga pangalan dito. All of them in their writings referred to the inspired writing. So ang ginawa ng mga most ng mga throughout the century, yung mga ni write ng mga disciples nila, tinian nila tas cross reference nila kung ano yung mga common. Doon nila nahanap, ito yung mga used in public worship. Ito yung na-discover nila ngayon. Kasi sila yung pinakamalapit sa apostles. So yung mga disciples na nagsulat, yung mga dinisciple nila, nung finorm nila, they reference their writings. Ah, si Clement of Rome referred to these 8 books. Tsaka si ganun, nag-intersect. So ginano nila. Kumbaga, tingnan nila lahat ng history para i-form lahat yon. Now, what is the test of canonicity? Nung tinitingnan nila, paano nila tines? Di siyempre, tingnan nila yung mga writings. Tingnan nila yung mga nag-intersect na writings. Ito, number 5, there are at least 4 tests used to determine canonicity. Number 1, test number 1 was apostolicity. Was the author an apostle or did he have a connection with an apostle? Kunyari, si Mark under Peter, tapos yung isa, sino yung nagsulat na isa? Si Luke under Paul. So, apostolicity. Apostolicity. So, apostol, tapos E-C-T. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-I, tapos city. Apostolicity. So, ang first test, pag nakita nila, okay, sinulat ni Clement of Rome to, ni-refer niya, ni-refer to ni Polycarp. After makita nila yung mga books na common, teka, sino nagsulat nito? Ah, si John. Okay yan. Sino nagsulat nito? Si Mark. Sino sulat ito? Si Jerome. Oh, ngayon lang si Jerome na buhay. Parang gano'n. Pero may mga gano'n. So, nako, hindi gano'n. Sino sulat ito? Si Nixon. Ah, mali, wag yan. Deception yan. Gano'n. So, tabi natin yan. Test number 2. Test number 2 was acceptance. Was the book accepted by the church at large? Ibig sabihin, there was a witness of the church at large. It was read by the church. It was used by the church at large. Very near. Ito, history to, ah. Very near the time of the writings being, okay, as it was written, okay? Next. Test number 3 was content. Did the book reflect consistency of doctrine with what had been accepted as orthodox teaching? So, tingnan din yung content. Kung meron bang mali sa teaching about the gospel. So, it was their job to do that. They did that for us. Hindi na tayo. So, and the test number 4 was, ito yung pinaka, the test number 4 was inspiration. Did the book reflect the quality of inspiration? Now, of course, when you say that, that's very subjective. Quality, ano ibig sabihin ng quality of inspiration? But suffice it now to say that we certainly believe that it was God's, we have to understand that primarily it was God's hand that preserved His writings. Hindi pwedeng puro test lang natin ang titingnan natin. We believe that those that God ordained to take a look at this, God moved as well to close everything. Sabihin, hindi pwedeng puro ganda, airtight eh. Airtight yung criteria. Hindi to dance contest. Alam mo yan, hindi to judge, hindi ka hurado. Hindi ganun ang dating dito. At the end of the day, as seen of the effects of the scripture, even in history, we know that these people were guided by the Holy Spirit. Because primarily, we cannot take this out of the picture. Primarily, it was God who preserved His word for us. Because He wanted us to know Him. He wanted the future generation to know Him. And that cannot be taken out. I mean, alam ko, we have this, all of these tests, we try to, parang, but that's our efforts. And we all know our efforts only go this far. Tama? Kahit nag-preaching tayo, ito lang tayo. And after that, we say, God, you better show up. Sigong hindi, this will just be me and this will be terrible. And so after you do your outline, you say, God, breathe into this. And so I say to you, with after all of these tests and all that, yes, probably, you know, they looked at what their writings and they, but I believe with all of my heart and with the fruits of the scripture throughout history. When I say fruits, tingnan mo na lang yung ginawa ng scripture. On its own, preserve what it did and what it continues to do in our lives today. And in the lives of the people we disciple, I tell you, this is inspired. Now, bulag na lang tayo pag dininay natin siya. Eh, wala eh. Ano lang, libro lang yan. Talaga lang, ha? Sige, basahin mo yung 50 Shades of Grey. Hindi, wag mong basahin. Pero, tingnan natin kung anong gagawin. Sisirain niya yung utak mo. Pero this, Da Vinci's Code. Oh, sensational. Grabe. Against the Bible. Nasaan na siya ngayon? Nasaan na? Wala na. 2 years pa lang, patay na si Da Vinci Code. Pero alam mo yung Bible? Growing pa rin. Still being translated, still being... Now, paano kaya yun? Kahit itapon natin lahat itong alam na natin, may ginawa si God, kaya hanggang ngayon nandito yan. And let's just look at our own lives. Aren't we thankful that we have the Word of God in our lives? Where would we be? Where would our family be? How would we raise our children? I have no idea. But I thank God for the scriptures that He has preserved for us. Ultimately, it was His hand, His sovereign hand. He is in control. He's the almighty, all-powerful God who loves us and wants to reveal Himself to us. Amen? Amen? Can we just pray as we close? Para or do you have any question? Bago or alam ko, yung basa inyo. No, let's pray na kasi uwing-uwi na ako. But if you have any questions, you just tell us. If I can answer, I will. I'll try. Okay? Can I just pray for all of... Lord, we just want to thank you again for this time that you've given us to study your word. But Lord, this is our prayer, that more than just us studying your word, may your word study us. That when we open your word, it is the one that studies us, one looks into our lives, that one that really makes a difference for us, so that we could live a life that honors you. Thank you, Lord, that this word would also cause us to know you and make you known. God, I pray, anoint all of these men as they preach, as they teach, Lord, as they preach your word. May they preach words seasoned with salt, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and in such a way that people will praise you as a result. So thank you, Lord, for all of these men. Lord, may your hand be upon them. May your blessing be upon them. May you bless them so that they may be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray.